So again, from the gospel reading, we hear this statement of Jesus. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while and you will see me. That statement baffles the disciples of Jesus. They wrestle with it. They talk amongst themselves about it. What does he mean, for a little while? Is that because he said, I am going to the Father? As always, Jesus knows their confusion. But instead of going into detail about how he will leave and how he will return, Jesus turns the conversation to a topic us Christians would rather not hear about. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. In other words, I am leaving and I am coming again, but what you need to know now is this: prepare to suffer. And when you do, the world will rejoice. That's right. The world will rejoice over your affliction. But don't be afraid. It's just for a little while. Your sorrow will turn into joy. Scripture makes many comforting promises to sinners. But Holy Scripture also makes clear what kind of world we live in and how that world sees God and treats God's people. One of the promises we see here in this text is that the Christian, even the baptized believer, will undergo suffering and lament. You will weep in this life and you will mourn. And Christian, if you're trying to make the world happy while maintaining your Christian conviction, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Don't be surprised when that same world dances and sings when you suffer for the faith. Jesus says that will happen. But what is even more frightening is the notion that you have to live in this world alone, without others, without God. So not only will you suffer from the cosmic forces of evil that Paul talks about, but to do so by yourself, without God, might be the scariest part about it. Jesus teaches the disciples many things, and he says in this text, there are some things that he is withholding from them at this time because they simply cannot handle it. There's only so much the human mind can take, and Jesus knows this. But what gets the disciples thinking is Jesus teaching that he is going away for a little while. That means life without their beloved teacher. Life without their Lord and their Savior, who they had been with for the better part of 3 years. He's going away. And while he's gone, don't think life's going to be a cakewalk. It's not. Be prepared. Dig your heels in. Gird your loins. It's going to be rough. And you will weep. And you will lament in this fallen world. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. Have you ever felt like you were alone? Have you ever struggled with feelings like that? That maybe God has abandoned you and left you alone because of your great sins? Have you ever felt alone or abandoned by God because of great suffering raining down on your life? That's a scary prospect, to entertain the thought that God has left you like a sheep in the wilderness, alone to fend for yourself, with no one to protect you, no one to guide you, no one to lead you into greener pastures. The disciples really wrestle with this. They ponder over it to one another. What does he mean when he says he is going away? Why can't he always be with us? Christian, the devil would have you think that you are absolutely right whenever you say, my sins are so bad that they have driven away my Lord and my Savior. The devil would have you think that your feelings are right when they tell you God's benevolence and his compassion have their limits, and you, O sinner, have reached them. You're on your own. Sin and the devil would have you think that the suffering and lament in your life are true signs that God no longer loves you, because if he did, it just makes sense. You wouldn't be going through such a storm of affliction. For some of you, maybe enveloping your life as I speak. I don't know everything you struggle with. I don't know everything that causes you personally to weep and to mourn. I don't know every one of your temptations that make for that daily battle. And I certainly do not know all of your sins before Almighty Holy God. But all of us know what our Lord Jesus has told us. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not talking about this to scare you or frighten you, no, but to make sure you're prepared. That as you live your Christian life, you are not surprised when you bend the corner and there you find calamity. When Jesus says the words, truly, truly, pay attention, because what he is going to say after that is very important. Today's gospel, after those words, truly, truly, we hear a prophetic warning for the church. You will weep. The world will rejoice. The communion of saints, the body of Christ, the church will be persecuted while the world dances and sings. Whenever you are in these throes of affliction, it may seem as if you are in a long, dark tunnel with no light at the end. And then you see the light, and you find out it's a freight train heading right for you. During those times, it's easy to forget and look past what Jesus says. Your sorrow will turn into joy. When you're in that long, dark tunnel, Christian, your sorrow will turn into joy. Yes, even if that light is a freight train ready to make impact, your sorrow will turn into joy. Even when you are going through that storm of suffering, your sorrow will turn into joy. Count on it. God is not a liar. His word is true. Your sorrow will turn into joy. For the disciples, part of that joy was seeing their Lord and Savior once again. They would learn soon enough what Jesus meant when he told them he was going away for a little while. They would figure it out. Arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified, Jesus would depart from them by the way of death, and on the third day he would rise again from the dead, only to eventually show himself to his disciples, who were holed up in a locked room for fear of the Jews. Jesus would come through those locked doors, stand before them, and what does he say? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then he shows them his wounds. Wounds by which he achieved that peace. Peace with God for sins forgiven. There you have true joy. There you have true peace. Peace with God by Jesus' shed blood, who by his grace, by his mercy, calls you his child. Some of you may be wondering in the back of your mind, fine, Pastor, but what about us? The disciples saw Jesus after the resurrection. What about us? I talked about loneliness earlier and that dreaded feeling of thinking that you are alone in this fallen world. But hear me on this. The Christian is never alone, because the Christian belongs to the family of God, a family made by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Christian is a part of the communion of saints, the church, the body of Christ washed in his blood. So never think you are some rogue creature detached from everyone else when Jesus calls his flock of believers his very own body. Baptized into the body of Christ, friends, Paul will go so far as to say in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, when one member of the body suffers, the entire body suffers. This is why Christians are called to share each other's burdens, to love for one another, to care for one another, because the Christian, by God's grace, is part of the household of faith, the house of God, the body of Christ. You are not alone. There are other brothers and sisters in the kingdom who bear your burdens and who share your sufferings. And that's not all. To that I must add, though the Lord has ascended to the right hand of God, he is still with you, and he will be with you until the very end of the age. In this gospel's text, we hear about the Lord's work even now. The Holy Spirit, friends, the Holy Spirit, yes, continues to work in this world. And regarding how the Holy Spirit works, we don't need to guess when, where, and how he works. When I say the Holy Spirit is working, I'm not talking about some vague feeling inside of us where we have to decipher what he is saying. We have much more than that. Our Lord Jesus is clear. The Spirit does not act on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let me read that last part again. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. My teaching, my word, my holy scripture, declared unto you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings to your attention the teachings of Jesus. He creates faith in you, strengthens you, establishes you, and keeps you in that one true faith until life everlasting. Through the gospel, the word of God, the Spirit works, taking what belongs to Jesus, his word and his teaching, and speaking it to you. Today we hear from that word. Your sorrow will turn to joy. The promise is for the Christian one day. You will see your Redeemer in the flesh. That means no more disease, no more sickness and death, no more sin. That's what the resurrection of the body is about, which we confess in our Apostles' Creed. You will one day see your Lord and your God, either when he comes again in glory or when he takes you from this valley of sorrow, giving you that blessed, gracious end to be with himself for eternity. And the good news of the gospel does not stop there. What Jesus Christ achieved by painting the cross red by his blood is not only eternal life, but a promise, brothers and sisters, a promise that is yours right now. And that promise right now is by faith the forgiveness of sins, a faith that clings to Jesus. You are forgiven. You have his peace. Baptized into the body of Christ, that means you are part of his flock. A flock where Jesus says, nothing can take you away. This means everything when you are undergoing sorrow and lament, even as the world rejoices. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Our time here is temporary and Christian compared to life everlasting. Our suffering is but for a little while. A blink of the eye until our Lord takes us to be with himself, where then we will realize and we will experience what God tells John in his revelation. St. John writes these words, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. Even your sorrow will turn into joy because of the peace you have now in your great God and Savior Jesus.